didn't give up on us. All the times that we were sinners, Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. Lord, so I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for never giving up on us. And Father, we just want to say how much we adore you. We magnify your name. We bless your name. We will praise you for your goodness, your kindness, your mercy, your holiness, your righteousness, your integrity, your nature, your character, for your compassion, for your commitment, and your obedience to the Father. So, Lord, we thank you. We will worship you with a heart of worship, a life of worship, you, a worship in spirit and in truth. So, Lord, we come before you today. Lord, I ask, Father God, that everything within us that is not of you, take it out of us by any means necessary. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Put in us everything that needs to be in us that keeps us, that will keep us from sinning. Oh, Father God, by any means necessary. So, Lord, we thank you. We bless your holy name. Lord, I pray for the sick this morning, for those who are injured and sick. We ask, Father God, that you were just the great physician for healing. We pray for those who have been molested, oh, Father God, and abused. May they never, ever be abused or molested ever again from this second on for the rest of their life. And Lord, we pray for those who did these things, that they will never, ever abuse anybody ever, ever again. We pray for the nation of Israel. We stand with the nation of Israel. Lord, we ask that you will bring those captives home. Lord, we ask that you will protect those innocent Palestinians also. Oh, Lord Jesus. And we pray for Haiti, Africa, and the Ukraine. Stop the fighting and the killing and the destruction of property, oh, Father God. Just have your way. We pray for the homeless and the hungry this morning, the helpless, hurting, and hopeless. Those who might be thinking about taking their lives this morning, Lord, stop them. Let them know that they're loved, they're valued, and that they have purpose. We pray for those who are incarcerated this morning. Minister by your spirit to them. Meet them where they need to be met. We pray for our government. Create a clean heart and renew a right spirit within them and us also. Lord, put godly people in every area of their life. And Lord, let them seek wisdom from you and you alone to run this country. Just have your way today. Give us ears to hear what you have to say today, Lord. Let it be no distractions or hindrances of hearing your word. Lord, I pray for those who are here this morning that don't know you as Lord and Savior. Prepare their hearts. Prepare their hearts this morning, Lord. Let it be open for the hearing of the word of God, for the Holy Spirit, oh, Father God, to just do what you've done for all of us, that you brought out of darkness to your marvelous light. And Lord, we pray for our children, especially the unborn. Lord, we pray, Father God, that our children will come forth, that you created these children, Lord, that you have a purpose and a plan for them. And we pray for those who are here also, that we just commit them unto you, set them apart that they will serve you all the days of their life. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. God bless your children. Go to church. Go to children's church and have a good time. Behave and learn about Jesus. I'm so thankful for our children as they go to children's church and they learn about Jesus. Because if we don't teach them about the truth, you know, our government, our school system, and the world would teach them something contrary to the word of God. So I'm so thankful that our kids are going, and they love going down there. They love going down there and go down there and behave. Praise the Lord. You know, back in the day when I was a kid their age, you know, when we were drugged to church, we had to go. It wasn't a matter of if you wanted to go or not, you know, and I'm going to say this here, and some of y'all might not agree with me, but when we acted up, there was a consequence. Amen? When we acted up in church, there was a consequence. And the consequence was not always from our parents. You know, it was from some of the deacons, you know, and some of the other elders. We had a room downstairs. And I remember that my grandmother, when I would do stuff, because, you know, I was back then. And I remember she used to lean over and she would grab a hold of either my cheek or part of my thing down here. And she would squeeze it and pinch it. And if I was real, real bad, she would twist it. You know, not only would she pinch it, she would twist it. Got my attention. But anyway, you know, and I know that people don't want to do that today, but the Bible says if you spare the rod, you hate your child. You know, some of our kids, they need to be disciplined. You know, now, some kids, you can talk to them and they'll be okay. But others, like my boys, I could talk to them till I'm blue in the face. Ain't going to do no good. So I had to get with them. You know, and both of them, they came to me, you know, several years ago and said, "Pops, I thank you for doing what you did," because now they got little hard-headed kids. See, they got little hard-headed kids like they were. So they understood why I disciplined them the way that I did, because they got to do the same thing to them hard-headed kids. And I just raised my hand and said, "Thank you, Jesus." You know, payback is something, ain't it? But amen, praise the Lord. It is so good to be here today. You know, I want to read something here this morning that before we get into the word. It was in one of my devotions yesterday. You know, and I, you know, A.W. Tozier, Renewed Day by Day is the devotion that I read, one of them. I love A.W. Tozier, you know, but anyway, it says, "All had to share in putting Jesus on the cross." That's the title of it. And the scripture is 1 Peter 3:18. "For Christ also has once suffered for sins, and the just and the unjust, that he may bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Now, here's a devotion. "There is a strange conspiracy of silence in the world today, even in religious circles, about man's responsibility for sin, the reality of judgment, and about an outraged God and a necessary for the crucified Savior. But still, there lies a great shadow upon every man and every woman. In fact, that our Lord was bruised and wounded and crucified for the entire human race. This is the basic human responsibility that men are trying to push off and evade. Let us not eloquently blame Judas or Pilate. Let us not curl our lips at Judas and a curse. He sold him for money. Oh, they were guilty, certainly, but they were our accomplices in crime. They and we put him on the cross. Not they alone. The rising malice and anger that burns so holy in the breast today put him there. The evil, the hatred, the suspicion, the jealousy, the lying tongue, the cheating, the carnality, the fleshly love of pleasure, all of these in natural man join in putting Jesus on the cross. There's a powerful movement swirling throughout the world designed to give people peace of mind and relieving them of a historical responsibility for the trial and crucifixion of Jesus Christ. But we may as well admit it. Every one of us in Adam's race had a share in putting Jesus on the cross. Every one of us. You know, we look at Judas, we look at Pilate, we look at the Romans, but we need to look in the mirror also. Amen. You know, what a wonderful thing that when I read that yesterday, I said, "Oh, we're doing communion. I'm going to read this here. This is so appropriate in what we're doing here." We need to, that's why we need to have so much humility and gratitude for when we take communion, because we also took partake of him being put on the cross. Amen. If you turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew 15:21 is where I'm going to start. Like I say, in the, you know, the title of this, I don't like to put titles on it. Denise usually puts a title on there. She's great at doing that. But today, never give up. Perseverance. Never give up. How many of us have been praying for things, maybe for years, and has never come to pass? And we've given up. So, you know, evidently it's not going to happen. So we give up. We don't do it. But I want to talk to you today about people in the Word of God that didn't give up. And then the consequences for not giving up. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. But so many of us will ask, you know, until we get tired. We will seek for a little bit and we will knock just for a couple of times. But I don't know about you, but I need my prayers answered. And I don't care how long it's going to take and what it's going to take for me to do that. The book of James said the effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The thing with that is you got to be a righteous person. And righteous person is right standing with God. Don't mean you're perfect. None of us are perfect, but being right standing with God. And when we get out of that standing, we go and confess it to him. And he says, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But like I said, and I'll say it until the day I die, you can't continue to do the same thing over and over and over again. And say, oh God, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. How sorry can you be if you keep on doing it over and over again? Huh? All right, here we go. 15:21. Then Jesus went this and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out. She was a Syrophoenician woman. She came out of the same coast and cried unto Jesus, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. She had a daughter. Don't say how old she was. But the enemy had got a hold of her and she was vexed. Now, I got a couple of kids and I'm thinking, you know, when some of the stuff they do, I'm thinking, boy, the devil done got into you. Some of the things that they do or whatever, you know, as much as, you know, you talk to them and this, that, and then punish them whenever that, you know, they just continue on doing the same thing. Am I only one got kids like that? Probably so. Anyway. So anyway, it says, but he answered her not a word. Didn't say, now listen, she greeted him with a great greeting. And she said she cried out to him. Didn't whisper to him. Just in talking of normal voice. Said she cried to him. She cried to him because she had an issue that she couldn't deal with. And nobody else could deal with it but Jesus. And she knew that. And she was a Canaanite, which was not in the family of the Jewish people. And it says, have mercy on me. I know that I'm guilty of not following you, but I need some mercy. Amen. Oh, Lord, son of David. She spoke to him by his messianic title. Oh, son of David, that's his messianic title. And then she told him what was going on. Amen. And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. She cries after us. No, she wasn't crying after us, after them. She said, Jesus. She made it specifically who she was talking to. Oh, son of David. None of them was the son of David. Only Jesus. Now, this was his disciples. Now, to say it that. And then he said not a word to them. And so anyway, but he answered and said. Now he's answering her after the disciples told them to send away. Am I not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel? I'm coming for the house of Israel. My people, the covenant people. The chosen people. Then came she and worshiped him. After he said, I'm only here for the nation of Israel. And you're not part of the nation of Israel. You're not part of the nation of Israel. And it says that, and she came and she worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Because you're the only one. My only hope is in you, Lord. My only hope is in you, Lord. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it into dogs. So basically, he's calling the dogs. And back then, all the Samaritans and Gentiles, they were called dogs. That is what they were known as dogs. Now, I don't know about you, but after he didn't ask me nothing, he told me, not for you, it's for the children of Israel, and then said that I'm a dog, I'd have said, all right, but you know what? She had a need. She had a need, and she said, I'm not going to give up because my baby girl is vexed with the devil, and I know that only you can help me, Jesus. And then he says, and she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat from the crumbs which fall from the master's table. I love that. True, Lord, y'all call me dogs, and if you want me to be a dog, bow wow. Bow wow. But you know what, Lord? All I need is a crumb. I don't need a whole bunch. I don't need a big old piece of it. All I need is just a little bit. That's all. Just a little bit. And my daughter would be delivered. Verse 20, and Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto you even as thy will. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Why? Because the mama wouldn't give up. The mother wouldn't give. She persevered. She said, I ain't going. You can call me a dog. You can do whatever you want to do to me. But I know that you are the only one can deliver my daughter. My brother. Calm down a little bit, all right? All right. Let me get through this. Because if not, we're going to be here about 5 o'clock. Do you want to be here at 5 o'clock this evening? Don't care, do you? Praise the Lord. Anyway. And it says her daughter was made whole. Old woman. He didn't call her a dog, did he? Now she's old woman. And back then, that word woman was not the way it is today. Remember Jesus at the feast, at the wedding, and he called his mama woman? You know, that was not a derogatory thing that he said. So now, instead of a dog, oh woman, great is thy faith. I love that. Great is thy faith. Because you have come to me and called me by my messianic title and said, have mercy on me, and I need help from you and you, not your disciples. I ain't talking to y'all. I'm talking to you, Jesus. That's why I tell y'all every week, don't make me your necessary. Please don't. Don't lift me up. Don't put me on no pedestal. Jesus is your necessary. He's the one that can heal. He's the one that can deliver. He's the one that provides. Not me. It's Jesus Christ, period. Now, let's go to 2 Kings. All right, so we saw one instance of perseverance. We saw one instance of not giving up, and we saw the consequences of it. Her daughter was delivered that same hour. So let's go to 2 Kings 5 now. When you get this, amen. Sheila, I'm glad to see you. Yes. Where's Vera at? She ain't here today, is she? Okay, we're going to pray for Vera. Praise the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 5. When everybody get this, amen. All right. Now, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria. Let me tell you something. The Syrians was an enemy of the Israelites. Just like this Canaanite Phoenician woman. They were not part of the covenant of God. They were enemies of God. Naaman, a captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master. And honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. He had an issue. And back then, leprosy was not curable. They had no cure for leprosy. And matter of fact, a lot in the Bible, leprosy was linked with sin. And so anyway, it said, and the Syrians had gone out by the companies and held brought away captives out of the land of Israel, a little maid, as she waited on Naaman's wife. So they went into Israel and they conquered Israel and they brought back slaves. Now listen to this. God's people, his chosen people, Israel. But because of Israel had turned their back on him, they were disobedient to him. He said, all right, I got something for y'all. So he sent the Syrians to overtake them, to defeat them. And he brought back prisoners. And the one prisoner was a little girl, and she was a maid and waited on Naaman's wife. So he brought her into his house. And she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were the prophet that is in Samaria, that he would recover him from leprosy? Would God, my Lord, listen to what she said. Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him from his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid, this is the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Syria, Israel, saying, now when this letter is coming to me, behold, I have wherewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou may recover him of his leprosy. Now, evidently the king said, there's no cure for him. He's a mighty man of valor. He is a top officer in my army. He's a valuable man to me. But because of this little slave girl said that in my country, there's a man of God that can deliver him from this. So the king said, we done tried everything else. Why not try this? So he sent a letter. And it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter, and he rent his clothes and said, am I God? Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man do ascend unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Therefore, consider, I pray thee, and see how he seeketh to quarrel against me. He said, he's trying to set me up. I'm not God. I can't raise nobody from the dead. I can't heal nobody. I'm going to say this. You know, in the past, and I don't know if it's still true today, but I think it is. But it used to be people who said that they could heal everybody. Now, there is a gift of healing. There is a gift of healing. But I went to one of the meetings because I seen him on TV. And I saw, you know, people coming in wheelchairs, coming in walkers, coming with crutches and everything. And he would touch them and they jump up and run around and this, that, and the other. You know, and I'm thinking, is there something to this? So I went to one of the meetings in a big old coliseum. And I'm sitting up in the bleachers and I see, you know, him on the platform, and there's people down here with wheelchairs and crutches and stuff, and they would call him up, you know what I mean? He'd lay hands on them, you know what I mean? They jump up and they run around and this, that, and the other. But also I saw down the thing, there was a whole line of people in beds, in wheelchairs that had come that was hoping and praying that this man would heal them. After the people that was right here had come up and got healed, supposedly, and he saw the people coming down the thing there, he said, oh, the meeting is over. I'm thinking, wait a minute. There's still people here that need to be healed. There's still people here that need to be healed. Why are you in the meeting now? Huh? You know, because, you know, I'm from the hood. And I don't believe everything that everybody tells me. And I don't believe everything that I see, because I know people can fool you. Amen. I know people can fool you. They can have people and come up and say, oh, I'm healed. I'm healed. And get $50 or $100, whatever it is. But the people who truly that were in beds and wheelchairs, I mean, and some of them was in bad shape, was hoping that this man could heal them. They had hope in this man. And once they said, I saw people start crying and raising, and let me tell you something. There's a special place for that type of person. Do you know that? Now, it's been going on for a long time, and people have been making a lot of money off of that type of thing. They call Christ merchants. Christ merchants. Anything that has to do with the Lord God, Jesus Christ, you don't have to pay for it. Do you know that? Do you know that? It's free. It's free. All right, now let me go on, because that burns me up. I'm telling you, that burns me up to see that type of thing. But anyway, so many people are deceived. Do you know that? Now, once again, there is the gift of healing, but the healing comes from God, not from the person. All right. Now it says that in verse 8. And it was so when Elijah, the man of God, had heard the king of Israel, he rent his clothes, but he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me. Oh, king, don't be upset. Don't be tearing up your clothes. Send him to me. And he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel. He shall know that there's a man of God in Israel. Not in Syria, not in Samaria, but in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and all of his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. And Elijah sent a messenger to him saying, see, he was hoping he'd come with all his entourage and stood at the front of Elijah's house, the man of God. He thought that the man of God would come out and lay hands and do all kind of pray and all kind of that. And Elijah said, told his messenger, you tell him to go do this. Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth. He was angry and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and strike his hands over the place and recover the land. I thought he would make a big old scene. I thought he'd have a ceremony. But he sent his servant out to me and told me to go wash in the Jordan River. The nasty Jordan River. You know, back then, they used to call the Jordan River the Golden River. Okay? I ain't going to get into that, why they called it that, but y'all can use your imagination about the Yellow River. All right? And this is what he said. This is what he said. If I can find it, where am I? Oh, and it says, and Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought that he would surely and do all this stuff. And but are not Abana and Pora, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the rivers of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away angry and enraged. He said, There's rivers that are a lot more clean and pristine than them. Why do I got to go in this nasty river? Because the man of God told him to do that. Because God told the man of God to tell him that. He didn't come up with that on his own. He's a prophet of God. A prophet of God speaks the words of God, not the words of man. So God told him to tell him to go wash in this river, the Jordan River. And he says, I ain't going to do it. Ain't going to do it. And his servant came near and spoke to him and said, my master, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather than when he said to thee, wash and be clean? He said, wait a minute. He said, we done tried everything in Syria and we know ain't nothing gonna work. You got a death sentence. You have a death sentence. You're going to die from this. This is our only hope at this point. At this point, this is our only hope. So why not try it? Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. Man of God said, go down and do it 7 times. Why I got to do it 7 times? Because God said do it 7 times. Don't make sense. Because God said do it 7 times. And whatever God says do, you do it. Whether 7 times or 27 times or 87 times. Because God has a plan. And he says, according to the sin of the man of God, and his flesh came unto him like the flesh of a child, and he was clean. He went down 1 time. Still there. 2 times. Still there. 3 times. Getting frustrated. Well, you know, was he pulling my chain? Was he just making me do this here to make fun of me? 4 times. Well, I done did it 4 times. I might as well do it 3 more times. 5, 6. And on that 7th time, at the word of the man of God that God told him to do, after he was obedient, the consequences was he was healed. Said his flesh was like a baby's flesh. You know, I love smelling newborn babies' heads. They so nice and soft, and that smell of just, I think that's the closest thing to being close to God, is smelling a baby's head. Because that's a miracle. Coming out of a woman smelling that baby's head when they first come out, ooh, fresh. Fresh. Skin is so soft. I told y'all we have issues, didn't I? Skin is so soft and smooth. Oh, my goodness. And it said, and listen to this here. After he obeyed, he questioned it, but he persevered. He didn't give up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, as the man of God told him to do what God told him to do. And after he'd done that, the consequences were, it is true what he said. There's evidence. I can see now. I don't have this death sentence anymore. I'm going to live. And listen to what he said. This is the good part. And he returned to the man of God, he and all of his company, and came and stood before him and said, behold, now I know. Not that I've heard, not that I read. Now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing from my servant. He wanted to pay him for doing that. Once again, the man of God said, no, 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 this is free. No, no, no. And if you read the rest of this account, you'll see what happened to his servant. You know, because his servant didn't do the right thing. So I want y'all to read that yourself. But what I want to tell you is, because of his perseverance, because of his obedience, he was healed. The woman, the Syrophoenician woman, because she didn't stop, because she continued on, she persevered, her daughter was delivered. Now let's go to one more, maybe. Let's go to 1 Kings, 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18, 41. Now, here we go again, Elijah, man of God, prophet, man of God. 1841, anybody there? Say amen. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, and there's a sound of abundance of rain. Now, it hadn't rained in 3.5 years. He had just, you know, did the thing about told Israel, you know, choose this day who you're going to serve. You know, you've been half-stepping. You know, you've been half-stepping. You are a chosen people, but you have been serving other gods also. He said, if God be God, you serve him. If Baal be Baal, you serve him. We're going to show you. God is going to show you who's the real God. And y'all know the account of that. You know the account of that. God showed himself true. And so anyway, it hadn't rained. And so the people says, now we know that God is God. And so anyway, this is, and it hadn't rained. So anyway, Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Hadn't rained in 3.5 years. So Ahab went up to eat and drink. He obeyed the man of God. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. Hadn't rained in 3.5 years. But the man of God said, I can hear the abundance of rain. God has given me an ear to hear. You hear what I'm saying? God has given me an ear to hear. He's getting ready to take this curse off the land. And then, you know, once again, he went and put his face down and he kneeled down and put his head between his knees. You know, back in the day when women were pregnant, they were about ready to give birth. They didn't have the stuff that they have now where you lay back and put your feet up in the stirrups and stuff. You know what I mean? What they would do, they would bend down, they would put their head down, and they would push. They would push. And the baby would come out as they were bending down, stooping down, and they were pushing. So what he was doing was, you know, he knew he had something he had to push for. There was something that needed to come. So he went and pushed. And said to the servant, go now, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. He said, there's nothing. Ain't nothing there, master. And he said, go again. There's that number again. 7. Do you know what the biblical number of 7 means? Completion. It means completion. And so anyway, he went, and so it came to pass that the 7th time he went 1 time, didn't see nothing, 2 times, didn't see nothing, 3, 4, 5, 6 times, didn't see nothing, but he obeyed what the man of God said that God told him there was going to be. Once again, do you see the thread in this here? Obedience. Obedience. It brings forth blessings. And so, and it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. Despise not small beginnings. Now, he said it's abundance of rain, but all he saw was a little cloud way off in the distance, the size of a man's hand. That ain't going to do nothing. That ain't going to do nothing. But that was a sign from God that because you have been obedient, rain is coming. And it says, and he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare the chariot and go thee down that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heavens were black with clouds. What happened to the little hand? What happened to that? It grew, didn't it? It grew into big black clouds and rain was coming. And it says, and wind, and there was a great rain, not just a little rain, not just a shower. But a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and he ran before Ahab into the entrance of Jezreel. Once again, perseverance. Not giving up. Do you hear what I'm saying, church? Because we all have things that we need God to bless. We all need things that we need our prayers answered. Sometimes we get right at the point that God wants to bless us and we draw back. We draw back. How many people that have come through the doors of this church here and we don't see them no more because they didn't get what they wanted to get, when they wanted to get it, how they wanted to get it. And they gave up. Right at the point of being blessed. But they withdrew and didn't continue. You know, and once again, coming to church don't make it, you know, that God will bless you or more than that, you know, because there's some people that can't come to church and they still get blessed. But if you're able, the Bible says, forsake not the assemblings of yourself as others do. Because sometimes, you know, people will come through the door to church. And they have an issue that they're going through, or a trial that they're going through, a storm of life they're going through, and they've been praying and praying and praying, and nothing has happened. And somebody can be sitting there, Sister Lee, Sister Kathy, and some of these other ones, and even myself. Somebody might have just lost a child and don't know how to deal with it. And we can say, hey, Come here. I know what you're going through. I know how you're feeling, but let me tell you something. God will bring you through it. God will bring you through it. Yes, you'll never forget. You're going to have times when it's hurtful, but God will bring you through it. And sometimes people need that encouragement from others. That's why forsake not the assembling of yourselves, as others do, so you can get encouragement through others who have gone through some of the things that you're going through, and you might be ready to give up. You might be ready to say, I'm done with this here. No, don't give up, because God is no respecter of persons. What he's done for me, he'll do for you too. But you can't give up. Like little Jeffrey said, I'll never give up. I ain't going to give up. I'm going to walk this whole thing. I don't care if it's cold. You know, I'm going to carry the cross, and I'm not going to give up. Now, there's a couple of more things. The widow with the unjust judge said he didn't fear God or even mankind. But this woman, she went to him and she said, Judge, she said, you know, I need you to do something. I need you to avenge me. He said, I ain't got nothing to do with it. Go on. Next day, Judge, I need you to be me. I ain't gone. Next day, Judge, she's judging every day, waiting for him to come to work. He said, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do what you asked me to do, because you wearing me out. You are wearing me out. You done got on my last nerve. You know, and I know you ain't going to give up, because you've been coming and coming and coming and coming and coming. So therefore, I'm going to request what you're asking for. Amen. There was a man, he was a paralytic. And he had four friends that was bringing him to Jesus. They couldn't get in the traditional way through the front door. They said, well, what are we going to do? We're going to go up on the roof. We're going to tear the roof off this place. And we're going to let him down so he can see Jesus. You know, the people won't let us in. There's things that's stopping us from getting in to see Jesus, but there's always a way. You understand what I'm saying? There's always a way. And sometimes, you know, we got to do whatever we need to do to get to Jesus and not give up. What if they had gave up? He'd have still been paralyzed. He'd still been in the condition where he was, but they didn't give up. And the same thing with us, church. You're praying for some of your loved ones, your family members, maybe your spouse or whatever, government, world. We can't give up. We have to continue. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman will availeth much. We got to continue on. We got to continue on. We got to continue on. And see, God loves faithfulness. God loves faithfulness. But so many times, we'll do it for so long, and then we'll say, throw our hands up. And you might be right at the cusp of your blessing. Right at there. All you need to do is take one more step. But you throw your hands up and give up. We can't give up, church. You hear what I'm saying? We cannot give up. Because Jesus didn't give up on us, did he? I think about the years that I didn't serve Jesus. I think about all the years that I didn't serve. 43 years. And he didn't give up on me. I'm a late bloomer. 43 years. He never gave up on me. And he won't give up on you either. I don't know what you're going through or whatever, but he will not give up on you. Don't give up on him. Whatever your trial is, whatever your storm is, whatever your valley that you're going through, continue to pray. Continue to seek the Lord. And then not only pray and seek the Lord, thank him before it even happens. Thank him before it even manifests. Say, Lord, I know I'm still going through it. I know my child's still going through it. I know this, you know, but I'm going to thank you, because I know, ain't no doubt about it. You're able. You're able to heal, deliver, provide. I know, ain't no doubt about it. You're able to do whatever. So, Lord, I'm going to keep on coming like that widow. I'm going to keep on going like the South Phoenician woman. I'm going to keep on going down like Naaman. I'm going to keep on going to the coast like Elijah's servant. I'm going to keep on coming. I'm going to keep on coming. I'm going to keep on coming. We got to keep on coming. Amen. Because all of us got stuff that we're going through or we've gone through or that you're getting ready to go through until Jesus come back. You know, we were talking this morning, me and Mark, when we was talking this morning, and he was saying, you know, the signs are here. You know, wars and rumors of wars, and, you know, men are being lovers of themselves, and, you know, hearts are waxed cold and all that type of stuff. Yes, you know, Jesus is coming, and we need to be ready. And part of being ready is continuing on in him, continuing on in him, trusting in him, trusting in him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all our strength. We got to trust him. Did you hear what I said, church? We got to trust him. If there's anybody here today that have never yielded your life to Jesus. Now, there's a lot of people who will come and say a prayer. You know, a lot of people come and say a prayer. You know what I mean? But saying that prayer, you know, that's just the beginning of it. He said, if you confess with your mouth, but believe in your heart. A lot of people confess with their mouth, lip service. They have it up here, but it's not here. Believe in your heart. Because let me tell you something. When Jesus comes within you, your life will change. Your life will change. You have no doubt that it will change. Praise the Lord, my brother. Just stand right there. Anybody else? Is there anyone else that has never yielded your life to Jesus? And if you're sitting out there and that you know that you haven't, or you're saying, maybe it's not good enough, I'll do it next week. You might not survive the next 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Don't know. But he's opening up the door today and said, today is the day. Today is the day. If you yield your life to me, he's knocking on the door. He's knocking on the door. And all he asks you to do is open the door and he will come into you. Trust me, you will never be the same. Not that you'll be perfect, but let me tell you something. You'll know that you know that you know when you take your last breath, you will be with Jesus. You will know that for sure. So if you have any doubt, any question, you can come today. If not, everybody's good, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody's good. But if you're not, so, brother, I'm going to ask you to do this here. This is your first time here, isn't it? What's your name?
My name is Tiger.
Give me both your hands. I want you to pray this prayer with me, okay?
Yes, sir.
And once again, confess your mouth, but believe in your heart.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Pray this with me. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I come before you today.
I confess
that I am a sinner.
That I'm a sinner.
And I'm asking you, Lord.
And I'm asking you, Lord.
To forgive me. Of all my sins. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
Is the Son of God.
That he died on the cross.
He died on the cross.
Shed his blood.
For my sins.
He rose again.
On that third day.
He's seated in heaven. Next to our Heavenly Father.
Next to Heavenly Father.
This day.
I receive.
Salvation.
By faith.
In the mighty name.
Of Jesus.
I will serve you all the days of my life.
Yes, sir.
And the church says,
amen,
amen, amen, amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord, my brother. Do you have a Bible?
I want one.
We're going to get you a Bible, all right? Praise the Lord. You say your name is Tiger?
Yeah.
Tiger, all right. This is our brother Tiger. Amen. Praise the Lord. All of them, your brother. Now listen, see the woman back there clapping her hands? Raise your hand, sister. Go back there and she'll give you a Bible. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I want you to know that this is your home here now. You're part of our family, so we want to see you here. Go back and get your Bible now. Yes.
Sir, Pastor, I know a whole lot about Elijah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And I love when you talk about Elijah.
All right. Amen.
Praise yes, me. That was a...
you said you wanted to come in here and hear the Word of God. Did you hear the Word of God this morning? All right. Praise the Lord. Go get your Bible back there. Amen. How good is God? How good is God? All right. Father, we come before you today. Give me honor, glory, and praise. We thank you for bringing Tiger here. We ask, oh, Father God, in the days and the weeks to come, oh, Father, that you would just continue to bless him and provide for him and all of us. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Lord, so I just ask that from this day forward, that we will all have a greater measure of faith, a greater measure of obedience, oh Father God, than we had ever. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you all. Have a great day. We will see you. Hopefully we'll see you Tuesday at Bible study at prayer meeting, Wednesday night at Bible study, 7:00. Praise the Lord. All right, have a great day.